3.
Manao fampianarana amin'ny toy fohifohy isika ao amin'ny Hebreo toko fahenina andin'ny fahenina katra fa voalohany katra amin'ny fahatelo.
Let's read through those verses.
Tendao isika maky andreo andin'ny maromaro vitsivitsy ireo. Hebreo toko fahenina andin'ny voalohany katra amin'ny fahatelo. Ko aoka ilaozantsika ny abidim-pianarana ny amin'ny Kristy, fa aoka androso amin'ny tanteraka isika ka tsy hanao fanorenana indray. Dia fibebahana ahafahana amin'ny asa maty sy finoanan'Andriamanitra. Ary fampianarana ny amin'ny fisasana maro sy ny fametrahan-tanana ary ny fitsanganana maty sy ny fitsarana mandrakizay. Ary izany no ataontsika raha avelan'Andriamanitra.
Let's pray.
Ataontsika hivavaka.
Heavenly Father, as we consider your word this morning, we pray that you would speak to us. Bring us into deeper relationship with you. If we throw aside religion, it's so that we can have you. We don't want to just go through external behaviors. We want to be deeply changed in our hearts. Help us to understand your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So before we can go on to maturity, we need a basic doctrine. And this passage of scripture puts forward six simple doctrines. Simple to understand, hard to receive all of it because they're deep truths. Some of them our flesh resists. And so we have to consider these. It forms a foundation, and these truths are not negotiable. We can't debate them. We have to understand them and build our lives on them. Try hold it higher up. I don't know if it's yours or mine. Sometimes if you cover the aerial, it could be the other one. So here are the 6 points. Repentance from dead works. Faith toward God. Instructions about washings or baptisms. Laying on of hands. The resurrection of the dead. And eternal judgment. So far we looked at the first two. The first one was repentance from dead works. This is perhaps the most fundamental thing you need to understand. Is that dead works can be good things or bad things. But more often they're actually good things that you think will make you a better person. And you're putting your hope in these good acts. Thinking God will approve you more if you do good. And so you start down the road of saving yourself. Thinking if you do enough good moral stuff, God will accept you. But the gospel teaches us our acceptance is not based on how good we are morally. But
But in fact, we are accepted because of Jesus' righteousness credited to us.
Farantena izy dia ekena isika nony amin'ny fahamarinana izay fahamarinan'i Jesosy napetaka tamintsika.
So we must repent from trying to earn righteousness.
Kamila mifona isika nambebaka isika amin'ny fehezana ahazo fahamarinana.
To make it practical,
ba tonga le izy otrany ho azo ampiarina na ho pratika kokoa.
Think about doing good things and bad things. I do something good. I do something bad. I have to ask the question, what was my motive for my good work? If it is self-salvation, then it's rejection of God. In other words, if you're doing good things because you're trying to make yourself good, you're saying, I don't need Jesus. I'll be good enough on my own. Think about if you do three bad things, and then you decide you're going to do three good things. Where does that place you? Well, Scripture teaches us that you can't cancel bad acts with good acts.
Tiafaka mafona ni asarati amnafanovana asasua yanao.
Because that implies that you're doing the atonement for yourself and it makes a mockery of Jesus.
Satin dikanzaya dia yanonum sulvaiken am sulvuinan tenanawa armananianenzi.
So
say no amzefton zenoe, manon tisosu tistiken.
So you can't pay penance. And you can't make atonement. If you do three bad things, you've sinned, and you are condemned. And the only wages for sin is death. You can never undo what you did.
So
you can say to God, I'm going to make my life right and I'm going to do everything right. That cannot cancel out. Only Jesus can atone for your sins. So when you've done three bad things, you can't make it right by doing three good things. No, for cancelling bad things we did, we need the blood of Jesus. So then what are the good things for? For the glory of God. And eternal rewards. Because God comes and says, well done. See, we do good not to be saved, but because we are saved. So that's repentance from dead works. And faith towards God. Well, when you turn away from hoping in your own righteousness and morality, you turn towards God. And God becomes your hope. Imagine you were on a boat and the boat sank and you saw a little island and you swam to the island in the middle of the sea. And
now
you're on this little island in the middle of the ocean. And you're hoping for someone to save you. And then you see another ship coming by.
And
that is your hope. If they can see you, they can come and rescue you. When you put your hope in God, you start looking to Him.
He's
the ship coming to rescue you. When you've been stuck in your sin your whole life, like that guy stuck on a little island, and then you see that ship coming that can save you, at that point you don't turn away from the ship and start looking at the coconuts. Your eyes are going to be fixed on the ship. It's your only hope of rescue. And faith towards God means we fix our eyes on Jesus. Because He's the author and perfecter of our faith. And so Jesus is the beginning and end of our salvation. So that's faith toward God, is putting your eyes on God. And hoping completely in His salvation. Believing, trusting, and living by faith. And whatever else Tudzu preached last week. The third thing the writer to the Hebrews lists is instructions about washings. It's about baptisms. And today we're going to talk about baptisms. There were many baptisms in the Old Testament. Washings, ceremonial cleansing.
Fanasana, fumba fumba, fanasana, fanadjuvana.
The Jews understood this stuff. Baptism is not a Christian invention. We just sometimes modified it. You know, in the church, we sometimes get very clever. We move beyond what Scripture says. I'm like, baptizo, the Greek word, means immersion, going underwater.
But
that's so complicated to do. We just made it a superstitious thing of, we think there's power in the water and we sprinkle and splash. So just come and sprinkle some holy water on me.
No.
We made a joke about that. That's like dry cleaning. It's not the real thing.
Well,
it's dangerous when the church loses sight of what Scripture is really teaching. In Jesus' day, the Jews used to baptize Gentile converts. And when John the Baptizer came,
De tam John na panao batisa tunga.
He baptized Jews.
The Jews na ton batis.
And even Pharisees went to go and get baptized.
De nan farseo ara tunga nanatuna nazi an de natao batis.
And his was a baptism of repentance.
De nanazi an batisa ni fi beban.
It was also to prepare the Jewish nation to see the Messiah.
Derian kiwa manumana ani firenena Jewsia ahita an lai Messi.
John himself said, this is in John 1, verse
31.
He says, I myself did not know him, speaking about Jesus. But for this purpose I came, baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. So John was baptizing in anticipation of Christ. And when Christ came to be baptized, John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he said, my baptism, Jesus, you don't even need it. You're the one who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so we see there's more than one kind of baptism. Baptism in water for different reasons. Baptism to become a Jew. Baptism of repentance, the way John taught repentance. A baptism in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus also instructed his disciples to baptize those that were converted. We know Matthew chapter 28, what we call the Great Commission. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them. And so he wanted them to be preached to when they believed they would be baptized. So there were many baptisms. There were meanings to these baptisms. Firstly, the visual metaphor, the symbolic representation.
Voluania ilaisaria na weksarsar manewan laitena is.
Was immersion. It was going into the water.
Zae alentia natranuan de tena midcha ne natranuan.
So it's not a half-half thing. It's a total thing. The point was, you couldn't be a Gentile and a Jew. So the baptism marked the leaving behind something and entering fully into something. Scripture also uses that term baptism in the context of indoctrination and teaching. If there was a student and a master teacher, and that guy was teaching something that was his way or whatever, a disciple would be baptized to signify he's a follower of that way.
And
the baptism symbolized that I was giving myself fully to that teaching.
Ari ni batisa de midikia we izak de manara katatera kan fapenaran tira zukti.
Becoming a follower. And so when the disciples got people converted, they became Christian. They said, you should be baptized to signify that you are a follower of Christ. So that's the idea of baptism. And there are other symbolisms we'll look at just now. But there were different kinds of baptism. So we see many baptisms. And that gets a little more confusing. Because Ephesians speaks of one baptism. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says there's one body and one spirit. And you are called to the hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all. That's Ephesians 4, verse 4 to 6. So what's this one baptism? Because we already know there's more than one. There's baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit. So obviously this one faith, one baptism, one God.
There
must be some more significance to this. I think Paul is trying to emphasize that this is the one baptism that really matters. And I'll tell you what it is. It's the one that counts when it comes to eternal life. And it's not baptism in water or baptism in the Holy Spirit. It is baptism into Christ himself. His death and his resurrection. And we can read Romans chapter 6. Let's read from verse 1 to
10. Tsy fantatrareo va fa naiza na izy isika no efa natao batisa ho amin'ny Kristy Jesosy dia natao batisa ho amin'ny fahafatesana koa niarana levina tamin'ny batisa ho amin'ny fahafatesana isika mba ho tahaka ny nananganana Kristy tamin'ny maty tamin'ny voninahitry ny ray no andehanantsika kosa amin'ny fiainam-baovao fa raha nampiraisina tamin'ny endriky ny fahafatesana isika dia ho tahaka izany koa ny amin'ny fitsanganana fa fantatsika fa toetsika taloha dia niaraka nombonina tamin'ny hanimbanany tena niota mba tsy hanompontsika niota intsony fa izay efa maty dia afaka amin'ny niota fa raha niara-maty tamin'ny Kristy tsika dia mino fa hiara-belona aminy koa isika ary fantatsika fa rehefa nitsangana tamin'ny maty Kristy dia tsy maty intsony izy tsy manan-kery amin'ny intsony ny fahafatesana fa amin'ny fahafatesany dia maty amin'ny ota indray mandeha izy fa ny amin'ny fahavelomany kosa dia velona an'Andriamanitra izy.
Paul is being very specific.
Tena mazava be mihitsy tena niditra amin'ny antsipriany mihitsy Paul eto
explaining about death, burial and resurrection.
And
speaking of our identification with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection.
Like in verse
3, those who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. We were buried therefore with him. By baptism into death. Is not talking about baptism in water. But baptism in water talks about that. I want you to hear this clearly. Baptism in water is something that comes later for a believer.
One pin.
What comes first is believing, identifying with Christ in his death. So Paul could say, I am dead to myself. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. And so the first baptism for the Christian is the one that happens without you even knowing it. It's when you become a Christian and you say, I'm with Jesus. I'm putting my hope in him. I'm believing in his death for me, that he was crucified, dead and buried. And I believe he rose again. And that's being baptized into Christ. Saying, I am now with him. And by the Holy Spirit,
his
saving faith in your heart. You put your trust in Christ and God makes you alive in him. In response to that, because you have inwardly been baptized into Christ, you must start to confess it publicly. And that's why a Christian gets baptized in water. Not to save him, but because he is saved. So this idea of baptism symbolized cleansing through death, burial, and resurrection. And in that sense, Peter describes the flood at Noah's time as a baptism. The symbolism was death, burial, resurrection. The result was cleansing. Now think carefully about the flood. The earth was sinful. The flood came. Everybody drowned. Except
Noah.
If the flood was a type of baptism, that's how Peter describes it. The flood didn't save. The ark did. Baptism in water doesn't save. Jesus does. Those who were in the ark passed through the waters and came out alive. Those who are in Christ pass through the judgment of God and come out alive. Jesus was dead, buried, and rose again. Those who are without Christ went underwater. They were not in the ark. They die. They're not raised to eternal life. And so, baptism is a symbolic depiction.
Can baptisa de tena utnuik sarsari tena misdikan bemint.
Peter also says something.
Peter and kudin laza zavato tro.
He says God judged sin through the flood.
Uzizwe andre mantra ni tsara n fautana tamnyalalani tunda jan.
But the next time,
fam ni manarak.
The earth is going to be tested or cleansed by fire.
De utiuv namnyafu nawe use dry namnyafu itiza utulza uti.
And John the Baptizer said Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The beginning and the end of Jesus' ministry. He baptizes with the Holy Spirit. But one day when he comes back, the world will be baptized with fire. And still, the only way to escape the judgment of God is if you are in Christ. He was symbolized by the ark in Noah's day. We identify with him in his death and resurrection. And he's our Savior as a result. So what baptisms are there for us as Christians? You can go out from here and you can teach somebody else one day. There's baptism into Christ when you become a believer. That's in Romans chapter 6, we just looked at it. Then there's baptism in water as a declaration that you're a disciple of Christ. That's the one Jesus described in Matthew 28. And also Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And there's the third one, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Those are the three baptisms. What do we as understand from Scripture about baptism? It doesn't save you, but it declares your salvation in an enactment. Why do we know it doesn't save you? Firstly, it's not part of the doctrine of salvation. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. In Christ alone. He is the Savior. We can't add works to His salvation. So theologically, we know baptism isn't part of salvation. But But in practice, we know also that the thief on the cross was saved, but he never got baptized.
De fapt, tsika hoe lay diolate eo ambonin'ny hazo fijaliana, vovonjy, nefa izy era tsy natao batisa akoriny.
Hanging next to Jesus,
niantona akaikin'i Jesus,
dying on a cross,
maty teo amin'ny hazo fijaliana.
He was first opposed and then he turned toward Jesus and said, "Remember me."
De izy tam voalohany nanotra, fa avy eo izy nitodika tamin'i Jesus de teny izy hoe tadidio ako, tsarovy ako.
And Jesus said, "Well, today you'll be with me in paradise." So he became a believer shortly before he died. That he never got off the cross to get baptized. He didn't need to. Because Jesus' salvation is complete. We don't have to add to it through works. In fact, if there was a baptism that you needed in order to be saved, Jesus did it for you. As Jesus said to John, when John said, "I shouldn't baptize you," Jesus says, "You must, so that all righteousness can be fulfilled."
So,
if baptism doesn't save, then baptism is actually part of our witness. It's not salvation, it's spreading the gospel. It's a public declaration that we are Christian. And so when we are baptized and how we practice baptism in this church, we don't baptize babies because they're not yet confessing their faith. They're not believers. But when someone says, "I'm a believer," we say, "You should be baptized." Jesus said his disciples should be baptized. Just once in your life, as a public declaration that you're a follower of Christ. And we baptize by immersion because we want to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
And
so you die, you go down into the water, you're buried, it's like a watery grave, and you're raised as a new person.
And
an act of witness. It's not some, it doesn't save you. It's just what happened to you when you got saved. And since it speaks to your baptism into Christ, it is not about joining a church. You don't get baptized to become a TCCite.
You know, tsy hoe atao batisa ato de hoe lasa hoe TCCite.
And you don't get baptized to become an Anglican or a Methodist or a...
No,
you get baptized because you're a Christian and you're testifying to being a Christian. And in your whole life, you would only have to be baptized once. But in history, we see these guys called Anabaptists.
De tam tatara nait sike nefanya andreu ulla zayatuna we anabaptist.
They were accused of being re-baptizers. They were baptizing people twice.
Zarewa lai otunwe numeluna satiwe ah zarewa no baptisa ulla fanruan.
But all they were doing was objecting to the church's practice of infant baptism. And re-establishing a practice of believers' baptism. And so when they baptized somebody who was already baptized as an infant, the older traditional part of the church accused them of being re-baptizers. But in reality, you should only need to be baptized once as a believer. And what happens is that it encourages you and it testifies to the heavenlies that you're a Christian. My son once asked me, when he was much younger, he asked me, why do people pray out loud? Sometimes you even pray out loud when you're in private. Why? Once you've said it, you can't take it back. You know, thoughts come and
go.
Driving in my car, you know what thoughts? I have bad thoughts. I see somebody doing something dumb, I think you're a moron. I think, what an idiot. And then I quickly repent. I think, oh no, I don't really mean that. But if I open my window, look the guy in the eyes and say out loud, you're an idiot. I can never take those words back. It's been said. When you pray out loud, it encourages your faith. Baptism is the same. It doesn't save you, but sure, it like puts you on another level in terms of saying, I have declared what I believe. So now you understand baptism in water. First, you're baptized into Christ when you believe. Then you get baptized in water because you believe. And you can also be baptized in the Holy Spirit. In which case, Jesus is the one who does the baptizing. And he pours out his spirit upon you such that you are drenched, you are overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. And you can ask him for that too. Or you can ask people to pray for you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now I've given you a foundational understanding of baptisms. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that you have given us a way to declare who you are. Thank you that Jesus, you alone save us. But we can be baptized to proclaim this salvation. And as you've commanded us to be baptized, it's like you're saying, don't be quiet about this new life. Shout it out loud, demonstrate it. Do not be ashamed of it. Be a follower of Jesus. Help us to do this, Lord. For your glory. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Please stay and have some tea and coffee.
Wam di tes kafe seki.